You turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. We're going to be focusing particularly on verses 21 through 28 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. It's a few weeks since we looked at verses 1 to 20 of this chapter. Remember that there Jesus is teaching his disciples that it's not unclean food that defiles a man. That's what the religious leaders, that's what the Pharisees taught. And they were aghast, they were horrified that Jesus did not teach his disciples the necessity of ceremonial washing before they ate their food. And you find they say at verse 2 there, in accusatory terms, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." What Jesus teaches the multitudes and his disciples is that no foods were unclean. It wasn't food that defiled a man, but the heart of man. And he makes that very clear in verses 19 and 20, where he says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." It's quite clear that what matters before God is the heart. God looks on the heart of man. It's no good, as Jesus says at verse 8, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, "For people to draw near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, if their heart is far from me." Now, there may not appear at first sight to be a link between what Matthew has just told us about the heart being the vital thing, a heart right in the sight of God, and what we go on to read in verses 21 to 28 about the woman of Canaan. But there is a vital link. Jesus, we read at verse 21, went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And the significance of that is that he's now entering territory which was decidedly Gentile territory and not Jewish territory. He's leaving the land of Israel. He's entering, if you like, the land of the outsiders, those who were outside of God's covenant. He's leaving those like these Pharisees who took pride in their religion and being God's chosen people, but who nevertheless, as we've seen, did not recognize him as being their Messiah. And there in this land of Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia, he's sought out by an outsider, by this woman who does not belong to God's covenant people, to Israel. He sought out by one who did not draw near to him with her mouth, but whose heart was far from God. But Jesus will say to her at the end of this passage, "O woman, great is your faith." Where does faith come from? It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God, says Scripture. And it comes from a work of God in the heart. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart," with the heart, he goes on to say, "one believes unto righteousness." This woman, though an outsider in the eyes of the Jewish community, was closer to God than they were. They were ready to own Christ to be, yes, a great prophet, a great teacher, a miracle worker. They followed him, as we've seen, because of the signs and wonders which he performed. But it's this Gentile woman who owns him as the Messiah. So Jesus, who's just told his disciples, it's the heart, the condition of your heart, that's all important before God, now shows this is so by proclaiming to them the great faith which this woman evidenced, although she was a Gentile. The question we should ask ourselves this evening is, do I have this woman's faith? Not am I religious, not do I go to church, but do I have saving faith? Let's look at some aspects of this woman's faith that are brought before us in these verses. I think perhaps maybe even the chief thing that stands out is her perseverance. Her perseverance. It's remarkable. In fact, it's staggering. Verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" She cried out, we read. The Greek here implies that she kept crying out. She wouldn't stop crying out. But verse 23 tells us of Jesus, he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. That seems so unlike Christ, doesn't it? He seems to be totally indifferent to her cry for help. But the operative word in my last sentence must be seems. Jesus was fully aware of what he was doing. He was not out to destroy her faith, but to develop it, to draw it out, as it were. She could, couldn't she, at this point, have turned away? She could have given up at Christ's seeming indifference to her plight, to her distress. But she doesn't. Evidently, she keeps crying out. Because the disciples, we read verse 23, urged Jesus. This is what they thought of the situation. They say to him, "Send her away, for she cries after us." Send her away. Whether they meant here, grant her request and send her away, some Bible commentators think that, or just get rid of this woman who's pestering us, is uncertain. But to my mind, the likelihood is that it's the latter. They simply wanted to see her gone. They wanted this woman out of their hair, as we say. Jesus, however, does not grant the disciples their request. He doesn't tell her to go away. He says this at verse 24, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And those words of Christ break the silence. At this point, the woman could well have taken it that the door was finally shut and indeed bolted to her request. Couldn't she? Because she was not of the house of Israel. But rather than giving up, rather than turning away, she comes and worships him. "Lord, help me," she says. And then he answers and says, verse 26, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Even the sort of household dogs. Now, Jesus here is not playing games with this woman. He's continuing to draw out her faith. And it's interesting, you note here, she immediately seizes on his illustration. And she uses it to her own advantage, which of course Jesus knew she would do. He knows her heart, so he knows us. And verse 27, she said this, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Talk about perseverance. Do you see what she's saying? She's saying this, in effect, "It's certainly true that Gentiles do not sit with Jews at their meal tables and eat with them." And of course, the Jews looked upon the Gentiles as dogs. "But even the dogs under the table can eat some of the crumbs," he says. I'm only asking for a crumb from your hand. That's what she's saying. Lord, just a crumb. Just a crumb will be sufficient. You know, as you read this passage, the impression given is that every obstacle possible is placed in this woman's path. But she's not deterred, she's not put off. Her faith does not decline, it doesn't get weaker, it grows greater. until it brings from the Lord Jesus the response, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you desire." Perseverance. She does not give up. She will not be put off. The words of the disciples could have put her off, couldn't they? As they pester Christ, "Send her away." She cries out after us. She listens. Sometimes Christ's disciples today say things to those who are not Christians which have a negative impact. If Christ's disciples of old did so, then it's certain that we may. His disciples here certainly lacked understanding, didn't they, and compassion for this poor woman. Their time alone with Christ was being spoiled by this woman's incessant crying out. "Send her away." They were guilty of being selfish, of a selfish attitude, of thinking of themselves. And sadly, there are some in this world who have been mistreated by those who own Christ's name. And they may become cynical. They may become bitter. They might say, in effect, "Well, if that's Christianity, you can keep it." And on one level, we can't blame them. It might be there's someone here this evening who's had a bad experience at the hands of those who own Christ's name, who claim to be Christians. It happens. And I'm deeply sorry if it's happened to you. But if that should be a picture of you, I ask you to consider this woman's perseverance. She did not give up. She did not wash her hands of Christ. Despite all the obstacles, all the setbacks. Why? Why did she persevere? Why should you persevere? Well, for one thing, she had a great need. She had a pressing need. It was her daughter. A daughter she clearly loved dearly, but who we discover here was severely demon-possessed. Demon possession is not something we perhaps give too much thought to here, at least in the West. But it's something that we do read of at times in the Bible. The Bible speaks of spiritual warfare, of unseen principalities and powers, of Satan, powers of darkness. And not surprisingly, in the gospel records, when Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, walked this earth, those demonic forces were especially active, opposing him. The powers of darkness were stirred up. And if you read the gospel records, you'll see many were the demons that Jesus Christ cast out. How often he grants deliverance to those who were held by the grip of evil powers. And this woman of Canaan had clearly heard of this. And she desires that Christ would do the same for her daughter, because her daughter's severely demon-possessed. She's desperate now to find a remedy. She had a pressing need. We all have a pressing need. because we're all fast bound by sin. We're all, according to the Bible, without God and without hope in this world. We're alienated from the life of God. And that's indicated by how we live our lives. We don't live our lives to please God. We live our lives to please ourselves. Many refuse even to recognize his existence. They deny his claims as their creator. But soon, we shall all be called to stand before him. It's appointed for men to die once, says the word of God. But after this, the judgment. Serious matter this. For we're unprepared to meet a holy God. We have a great need. We may choose to deny it. We may say, I don't believe it. But God's word declares it to be true. And anything, but anything that causes us to consider, to reflect on our perilous position without God is a blessing from God. Doesn't matter what it is. This woman saw her need. She was aware of her need. It caused her to persevere in seeking a remedy. She didn't just drift through life wondering, well, where are... She wasn't agnostic, shall we say. There may be a God. There may not be a God. I'll find out one day. One of the problems living in an affluent society is that God is sidelined. Old Bishop Rao said this, writing on this passage. Prosperity is a great mercy, he says. But he goes on to say this. But adversity is a greater one if it brings us to God. So I ask you tonight, do you see your need? If you don't, may God open your eyes to see it. What else do we discover about this woman? Well, she also clearly saw that the only one who could help her and meet her need was Christ. Because the object, the focus of her faith is Jesus Christ. And as she comes to him, she calls him Lord. She also calls him Son of David. Her faith is in Jesus Christ. She believes that he is the Messiah. She believes that he is the promised heir of David's greatest king, of Israel's greatest king, David. She does believe that he is the one who came to save his people from their sins. Now, here are Christ's disciples impatiently, even angrily, calling to Christ to send her away. But she's not going anywhere. She's not going anywhere. She's not going to be dissuaded. She must get to Christ. The focus of her faith then was Jesus Christ. Jesus only. Only Jesus. And that is where your faith, your trust must be. If your pressing need, your sin, your alienation from God is ever going to be remedied, is ever going to be forgiven. It'll never be remedied by good deeds, not even religious deeds, not by looking to the church, nor any religious figure, but in Jesus Christ alone. Why is that? It's because he alone can give you that which you need tonight. What do you need tonight? You need what this woman sought. What did she seek? Well, we're told, aren't we, in verse 22, mercy. Mercy. Look at her cry. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. What is your need this evening? I'll tell you what you don't need. You don't need advice. I'm not here this evening to give you advice. You don't need counseling. You don't need guidance. None of those things will meet your need. You don't need New Year's resolutions, my friend. To do better, to become religious, to start going to church. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need mercy. That's what you need. You need a saviour. And that saviour is Jesus Christ the Lord. Because he alone can grant mercy. And this woman knew that, didn't she? You're my only hope, she says, doesn't she, by her actions, by her words. Lord, just give me the crumbs. Give me the crumbs. Give me a crumb from your table. She knew she was not deserving. None of us are deserving. We deserve only judgment. We deserve to be cast away. But God in his grace grants mercy. And that mercy flows down to us from Jesus Christ, from Calvary's cross. I love that old hymn, you know, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. If you must make a New Year's resolution, then let it be this. I'm not going to let anything, not anything or anybody, keep me from Jesus Christ in 2018. Because he alone bore the penalty for sin at Calvary. He alone can heal you. He alone died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And it's he alone who says to us tonight, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Heavy laden. Burdened. Is that you this evening? Well, burdens are lifted at Calvary, where Jesus died upon the cross as a sinner's substitute in the sinner's place. Remember the hymn, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Mercy. God's mercy is great. It's infinite. That's one of the lessons Jesus is teaching his disciples here. There in Tyre and Sidon. He shows mercy to this Canaanite woman. He shows mercy to this outsider of all people. He's just said that he's not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know. I don't know, I wasn't there, but if there were any of the religious leaders listening in, they'd have been nodding their heads in agreement at that point. That's right, we're the people, you see. We're God's chosen people. These Gentiles, these dogs, this Canaanite woman is defiled. They don't deserve to be treated as we are. Grace is for us. Even his disciples say, send her away. But you see, what's happening historically in this passage is this. That great divide, that wall that existed between Jew and Gentile, was about to be broken down by Christ. There was room for all within the kingdom of God. Room for all who will come in repentance and faith. Room for all who would plead God for mercy in Jesus' name. Room for all who are of a broken and contrite heart. Room for all who see their need. Room for all who are at wit's end corner. Room for all who don't know where to turn. Room for you tonight, dear friend, if you feel you're condemned and you're not ready to stand before the throne of God. Room for you. Room for you. Room for all who ever call on his name. This woman was a token. She was a first fruit, if you will, of many, many, many from all backgrounds, all races, all nationalities, all cultures, who would ever enter the kingdom. Who would be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This woman was an outsider. But Jesus commended her faith. Oh, woman, great is your faith. You do not read anywhere in the Gospels that Jesus ever said such a thing to his disciples. Don't sit there tonight saying, well, you're religious, you know all about these things, and I know nothing. This woman knew nothing except that Jesus Christ was the Saviour and the Lord. He never said any such thing to any Jewish believer, but he did say it to an outsider, to a Canaanite woman in great need. And those who know their Bibles will know there's one other instance as well. And again, it was a Gentile. He said the same to a Roman centurion who was also in great need. Both outsiders. Both outsiders. You may be an outsider, as it were, tonight. You may know very little about the Bible. You may know very little about Christianity. You may have thought in the past, well, this religion's not for me. But if you see your need, if you believe on Christ, if you call to him in your extremity to save you, I can assure you he will hear. And I can assure you your sins, which are many, will be forgiven. And I can also assure you, you will no longer be an outsider. You will be an insider. Inside Christ's kingdom. Indeed, that kingdom will be in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory, says the Bible. And he says to this woman, everybody else is looking on in disdain that she should even approach Jesus Christ. He says, let it be done as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. None of us are entitled to the grace of God. None of us deserve grace. Or it would not be grace. But God in his grace grants mercy when we, like the Canaanite woman here, seek mercy from the Saviour. Will you seek him? You say, well, I've got nothing to offer. Oh, that's perfect. That's just where you want to be. Nothing in my hands I bring, says the old hymn. Simply to your cross I cling. Will you seek him till you find him? And those of us here tonight who have already received mercy, who know Christ as our Lord and Saviour, let's live near the cross in this coming year. And if you live near the cross, what you will find is this: you too will be merciful. You too will be gracious. You too will go the second mile. You too will show the love of Christ to this needy world. May our actions, our words, not say to others, go away. But come and welcome. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. May our hearts increasingly be made more like that of our Saviour. And may we see, wouldn't it be great to see this? It's what we long to see, isn't it? That which Matthew tells us happens next in verses 29 to 31. Great numbers coming to Christ. Great numbers being healed. And among the great multitudes that came to him, verse 30, would have been both Jew and Gentile. In this short but moving account, you read, he healed them all. Here's the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. And here's a touch of heaven on earth. Oh, to know his presence with us in the coming year. Oh, to know a breath of revival power, of people glorifying the God of Israel, embracing Christ as Lord and Saviour, of the multitudes marvelling at God's grace to them in Christ. Do you know it this evening? Do you know what I'm talking about? If you don't, my friends, seek him. Seek Christ. Read his word. Pray to God. Until you do know him. Know him whom to know is life eternal. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the example of this Canaanite woman, one who was outside of the covenant of your people, but who came to Jesus Christ, came with all her pressing need, came brokenhearted, came in a great plight because her daughter was demon-possessed. And we thank you for the wonderful compassion of our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, that she knew her heart, just as he knows ours tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that he was drawing her to himself. And he said, oh woman, great is your faith. And we do pray earnestly, Lord, that here tonight there might be some who put their trust in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Thank you, there is a Saviour. Thank you, Lord, that in your wondrous mercy and grace, he may be our Saviour. Oh, Lord, draw us then, we pray, to cast ourselves upon him and to know his salvation for ourselves. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to draw to a close with this lovely hymn, 559. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Tell this word of grace to all. Through the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. This can bring them back again. Christ receiveth sinful men. If you read the Gospels, you'll see that was the accusation of the Pharisees against Christ. This man receives sinners. They didn't say it by way of commendation, but never a truer word did they speak. If you know you're a sinner, Jesus Christ is the Saviour. 559. Sinners, Jesus will.
receive. Tell this word of grace to all. Through the heavenly pathway lead. All.